Welcome to the Jumping Through Hoops podcast series with myself, Hannah Charlotte. This podcast series is all about jumping through the hoops of life and business and includes juicy topics such as manifestation, mindset, relationships, entrepreneurship, and more. I hope you enjoy. Okay, so today I want to talk a little bit about business boo-boos, or lessons as I prefer to call them now. And I've made a few notes and I'm just going to kind of use some of my own examples of things that I've done on my business journey that, you know, now I look back on are quite funny. But yeah, I've learned a lot from them. And I think some of these stories are quite fun to share with you guys on this episode. So I've called this episode Biz Boo Boos, and I'm recording it from a lovely hotel room right now in Bournemouth, and I'm just sat here in my dressing gown feeling quite casual, feeling quite chilled and relaxed. And yeah, so I'm going to start off with rewinding back to when I started my first business. And my first business, for those of you who don't know, was a beauty salon. So I actually rewind back prior to that, I was a flight attendant and I got made redundant. So I basically ended up having to pick a new career. And I decided, first of all, that I would, due to not having a lot of financial means at the time and also having to support my daughter, I decided that I would invest in a nail course. So that kind of took me on the route to becoming a qualified beauty therapist. But I started off, first of all, with just learning how to do nails. And that's kind of where I'm going to start with my first story. And so I just qualified in becoming a nail technician. Now, you don't just suddenly become good overnight from doing a nail course, right? It takes time to perfect your craft. And obviously, I was very naive at the time, thinking that I could go straight in and just start making money and be good at something that I really didn't know much about. But to be honest, I'd done a course and I was really new to the industry as well. So I've called this first biz boo boo, nails gone wrong. And I have to admit, to this day, I'm still really not great at doing nails, even though I stuck with it and I persisted and I kept on doing more courses, more training, thinking I will become good, but I never did. So anyway, rewind back. I just qualified. I put out an offer, quite a low offer, because obviously I wasn't that good, right? And so because I put out a really low offer on people coming in and getting these nails done, so at the time it was this was just before the gel nails came out, actually. They were just starting to come out. So it was still acrylics at the time. And so that's what I qualified in, except for, as I said, I was terrible. And I mean terrible. So I put out a really low offer, something like £10 or something for a set of acrylics, you know, with the understanding that people booking me would know that I was quite inexperienced and that I was just using this time and opportunity and putting out this offer in order to get practice. Okay, so anyway, I was booked up, fully booked. And oh my gosh, day one, when I went into the salon, set up my nail table, and first client comes in, okay, she was pretty high maintenance, and you know, for a £10 offer or whatever it was at the time, I'm like, alarm bells are going off in my head straight away. And I don't know if you guys can kind of resonate with this feeling of like that anxiety when you have a client. It doesn't matter what industry it is, but when you have a client, you know it's really not aligned to you, that you know from the outset it's going to be seriously difficult, but you don't know what to do. You're kind of in this situation. I was so new to this. This was literally my first experience of having to deal as a self-employed person with a client. And I could just feel like the sweats coming on, you know, she was looking at the nails as I was doing them, kind of tutting a little bit. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is not a good feeling. I just wanted to like, I wanted the ground to swallow me up. So anyway, because I was already anxious, because I could tell like she was not enjoying the experience, she was quite fussy, quite picky, you know, for her £10 low offer that she'd come in for. Don't know what she was expecting. But anyway, roll on like an hour and a half into the appointment, you know, you can see she's getting quite agitated. I'm nowhere near finished at this point. And I had stipulated it's going to take me time because let's put it into context. Acrylic nails, they usually take, I mean, properly a good hour and a half, 2 hours actually at times. And, you know, that's for someone that's experienced. I was not experienced. I'm thinking I'm going to be here at least another 2 hours at this point. Now, I hadn't really put in my timings properly. And so about an hour and a half in, my next client comes in and I know that it's like an hour and a half away before I'm even finished here. So my anxiety is getting worse at this point. I don't know what to do. And I just kept going. And I, in the meantime, like got the other client a coffee, like she seemed a bit nicer. But, you know, you could see she was getting agitated about half an hour that she'd been waiting. And it's like, oh, no. Oh, no. And, yeah, these nails were not going well. They were not looking good. They were not going well. And honestly, even when I think back on it now, I cringe. I feel like, oh, that was such, I don't know what that taught me. I think really, obviously, how to space time out, definitely in between clients. But also, like when you get a vibe about someone and when you pick up something about someone that they're not going to be good to work with, that obviously you need to say something, do something from the outset. And I think, thinking back, you know, all I was at that time was a people pleaser. That's all I was, you know. The fact that I'd given up 3 hours of my time for £10. And actually by the end of it, the nails were, they were all right. The other client had got impatient and left. and had rebooked actually, but she'd left. And, you know, I think there's so many lessons to be learned in the beginning when you first start something. I think we all kind of sometimes can go into things with, I guess, thinking that it's going to be easy, and actually nothing is ever easy when you're learning in the beginning. In fact, nothing's ever easy full stop, but you learn, you get better and you learn. But those early days of setting up that first business and working with these nail clients taught me so much about myself and my capabilities, what I was able to hold. And I guess I was able to hold more and more. And I think what I really was able to do also at that point was learn about my own intuition. And I think that's where the people pleaser in me started to shift a little bit. And it's still taken 10, 15 years plus to kind of get on top of that and actually really kind of eradicate that part of me from, you know, from my what would you call it, like, I suppose it's not eradicated completely because it's always been there, but I notice it when it comes up, and I'm able to do something about it before it becomes an issue and before it starts eating me up and making me feel resentful. So yeah, that was my first little story there, my biz boo boo with my nails. And as I say, nails gone wrong. They were actually all right in the end. But also, I think what that also taught me is my own value, like pricing myself at that price point of £10, even though I was training and I was learning, that was still 3 hours of my time that I was giving to someone who was actually quite a difficult client. And you know, I think there's something to be said for pricing yourself too low. I think it's great in the beginning when you're learning, like you want to get testimonials, you want to get kind of a proof of concept in a way, you want to kind of, yeah, you want to practice your skill, but you've got to remember it's still your time. So even in pricing your offer slightly lower than normal is fine, but I think that you can go too low. And when you go too low, not only are you devaluing yourself, but other people are not seeing your value in any way whatsoever. So I think there is a point where you can go way too low on pricing yourself. So if I was to kind of do this all again, if say I was starting again and I was going into building a beauty business again, then I would probably just have picked like 5 family members, friends or whatever to practice on first, because I knew them. They weren't strangers to me. I wouldn't have had that anxiety feeling, and they would have been really honest with me, and I'd be honest with them too. And so that's probably what I would have done, is just pick people I know first of all, and then I would have gone straight in with an offer, but not as low as I did. And I think I would have just, you know, thinking about it now, learned from using those 5 people that I knew, kind of using that to kind of assess how much time I would actually need so that I could actually put clients in accordingly. So yeah, that's what I learned from that. But moving on, biz boo boo number 2. So when I first started my company GlobeFit, it initially was, it wasn't a company at the time. It was just me. It was just me teaching a hula hoop class in my local village hall, and also a Bollywood dance class. Very random, I know, but that's all it was. And actually at the time, I still was doing all my beauty stuff on the side. I'd had my second child by this point, and I was just doing the fitness stuff in the evenings just to bring a little bit of extra income into the household budget. And so it wasn't in my plan in any way whatsoever for that ever to become a thing. And it quickly did. And it really was just, it was unplanned, totally unplanned. But what happened was that I was so passionate about it. I enjoyed it so much, and the demand was there. The thing is, the demand was also there for the beauty stuff I was doing, but by this point I was starting to almost resent doing the beauty stuff. I was not enjoying it. There was not that good feeling when I got out of bed in the morning, like, oh, I'm going to go to work now. And you know, I had some lovely clients, but I really just didn't want to be doing it. It did not light me up. It just felt like a chore. Whereas the fitness stuff, hula hooping and dance, where I was allowed to be in my creative flow, I was able to, you know, and it, with exercise as well, you cannot exercise and feel bad. You're going to feel good. So I'm exercising with these lovely people who are also feeling good. And I, just that ripple effect was amazing. And I fell in love with, I just fell in love with it. So I knew there came a point where I needed to kind of leave the beauty stuff behind me and pursue the fitness stuff full time, which is what I did. And as I did that, the creativity started to flow. So the more ideas came to me. So to put it in context here, I started off with hula hoop classes and a Bollywood dance class, and they were called GlobeFit Dance and then GlobeFit Hula. Now, then I started to teach children and toddlers as well. And then came in like so many other branches of the business whereby we were teaching, or we, it was still me at the time, teaching like cultural awareness. There were little toddlers classes, which were called Globetots. And it was teaching children language skills and like the basic dances from around the world. And then came the concept of cookery classes too. And so I have all these ideas swirling around me. Now, those of you that are into human design, I'm a manifesting generator, and a lot of times manifesting generators can be confused with ADHD, having ADHD. And I really thought I did, but now I've actually come to understand that I don't. I'm just a manifesting generator. I have a lot of ideas. I'm a creative individual. And sometimes we don't know where to put all these ideas. It's very hard to focus on one thing because there's so many things and you want to do it all now. And obviously now looking back, I've learned, you know, you need to kind of do one thing, get good at that. It almost, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm for or against niching as such, but I do think in the beginning you need to have something, a particular niche, and then you can build on that and add to it. But in the beginning, I wasn't doing that. I just had everything. So what I did, here's my boo-boo. I came up with all these different brands. I probably need to show you a photo. I'm going to have to share a photo on my social media at some point to show you of all the logos that I created for all the different brands. So I had Globe Fit Dance, Globe Fit Huda, Globe Tots, Globe Eat, Globe Travel, and Globe Spa, right? Because I just sort of left the beauty stuff behind, but I was starting to kind of play with the idea of creating products and a beauty range and all this. And oh my gosh, it was chaos in my head. So anyway, I had all these logos designed. And what I did is actually incorporated every one of those brands, which became very confusing and a lot to hold in my little head. So and also quite expensive. And I don't know why I did it. I incorporated them all and paid to have them all trademarked. Now, looking back, and this is something that people ask me a lot, because when people similar to me, manifesting generators or just creative entrepreneurs, have so many ideas, we're kind of like, oh, we need to kind of separate everything because it doesn't make sense. Otherwise, it's causing confusion and the messaging is getting mixed to our audience. However, your brand is you, okay? Effectively, your brand is an extension of who you are. So looking back and in hindsight, and now what I've obviously done is bring everything together under the one brand, which is Globe Fit, which has holiday clubs, it has cookery classes, it has hula hoop classes. It's kind of got everything under that one brand. There's no need to separate them all to be so many different entities. It's one thing. And obviously I'm the founder of the brand. And obviously looking back in hindsight, I had to kind of go through that period of confusion and doing it all that way in order to get to the point I'm now at. So I guess my advice from my little biz boo-boo there, I mean, I say it wasn't really a boo-boo. I learned from it. It was a bit of an expensive lesson, but I did learn. And my advice now to anyone starting out here that's got all these ideas swirling around is to kind of start with the one thing first. You know, have all these things. I know you want somewhere to put all of this creativity and these ideas, but know that it can be layered. As you set up and you kind of establish your first one, you can layer on top of it. And I think it's not getting caught up in the names and the branding as such, because that comes anyway. That just slots into place. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. The pieces just fit as you evolve and as you establish yourself, really. So yeah, that's my best advice there, is kind of don't get too caught up in that. Okay, I'm going to share one more actually with you, which this is a funny one. So a couple of years ago, as I said, I kind of got into the nutrition cookery side of things. And as the Globe Fit brand started to evolve, and we have a team now, that when we started to toy with the idea of catering, because we were doing it anyway for our own holiday clubs. So we would provide a hot meal anyway for the kids coming to our holiday clubs during school holidays. And people were quite curious and they kind of wanted to know how we were providing the food, how we were ticking all the boxes, so to speak, because we work, it's a program called the HAF program, where part of it is that you need to provide nutritious hot meal daily for the children. And it's got to tick lots of boxes. And people wanted to know how we were ticking these boxes. And so they're coming to us kind of asking if we could provide food for them too. So I said, yeah, why not? And so we went down the catering route, opened up a catering company, which then was called Yummy Bite Box. And it's quite a funny story. Like, I'm trying not to set myself off laughing here. But okay, so this company booked us to provide their meals. Now, had a team in to help with this. I'm not really a chef or a cook, okay? I have got various qualifications and I'm not too bad, but I kind of brought in professionals to do it. But there was a day where the person that I had wasn't available, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it myself. And okay, obviously under a time frame, had to kind of get this food ready and delivered fresh, so that it's all hot still, you know, when it was ready to give to the kids for lunchtime. and it was taking longer. It was a curry, so it was taking quite a while to prepare. But anyway, managed to do it on time, packed it all like into boxes, put it all ready into like the heat boxes for delivery. And I was delivering it, so kind of running late a little bit. And when I got there to present the food and everything, I had to kind of wait for the box to be returned. So I had to wait for them to kind of dish it up and give it out to the kids and everything. And so the director of the company was there and he was like, oh, we've been waiting for the food. This looks great. You know, smells good. Took it out of the box and there was curry everywhere. It had leaked inside the boxes because I had not really thought this through, but I'd put it all on top of each other basically in its boxes. So it had kind of squashed the bottom one, which was curry, which should have gone on top. And it just exploded everywhere. Now I'm there trying to like clean it all up. It had leaked all over the cutlery in there and the paper plates and the tissues. And I'm dripping in curry as I'm trying to like just want to disappear at this moment, wishing I could click my fingers and just disappear somewhere else, because like that feeling of anxiety, everyone's looking at me like, what are you going to do about this? Kids are all there looking at me hungry, waiting for their food, and there's me just covered in curry, it's dripping. I'm like, that's right, I'll go replace it. I don't know how I was going to replace it at that point. Like, I just needed to get out of there. So off I ran with the curry box, ran home and like cleaned it all up. Luckily we had a bit of spare at home, but oh my gosh, that I was like 2 hours late getting it back because I've happened to kind of reheat or like make new, like start from scratch. And I mean, honestly, that was another boo-boo that, and I learned very quickly that this is something that definitely need a team for. Now I can't just wing things and I need help here and support with stuff like this. So I probably would say that's one of my biggest lessons from that. Now, needless to say, the catering company has not really materialized. I realized also that I did not quite enjoy doing it. And even though it is an aspect of our own brand, GlobeFit, we offer it to our own clients, it's not something that we now do. We don't outsource ourselves to any other company. We just kind of stay internal to GlobeFit. So yeah, that was another biz boo-boo. I have so many more, but I kind of wanted to keep this one quite short today and just share a view of those things that had just come up in my mind. So we've got the nails, the incorporating all of the different brands, and the curry boo-boo. But, you know, the thing is, right, and I can say this, or, you know, and you can say, oh, but you've been there, done that, and it's easy now for you. It's still not easy. I'm still going through things all of the time. I'm still learning things all of the time. But especially in the beginning, you will have to go through so much. You'll have to go through a lot of lessons, especially if you're desiring to hold a business of a certain size. You know, if you want to hold a particular financial amount, you want to hold a team, you want to hold a certain amount of clients, then you are going to be tested. And I love this quote that my mentor uses, and it's comparing leaders to bridges. And it's like, she says, leaders are bridges and bridges have to be tested, because you wouldn't just build a bridge and just send people straight across it without testing it first. Someone has to go and test it first. So I love that quote of hers. That's Melanie Ann Leia, and she owns Alpha Femme, which is a coaching company. She's a great mentor, and that's one of my favorite quotes of hers, because I think it just rings so, so true. Because as leaders, you're going to be tested at every single level that you go through in your business. And I'm still getting tested now, constantly tested. The more I decide to expand, I know with that expansion, another lesson is going to have to come in order to test to see if we're kind of ready to expand to the level that I'm desiring. And it's no different in life, really, as well. You'll find that in every element of your life, you're going to be tested too at stages, because it's just how we evolve, isn't it? We won't ever evolve if we don't learn and then integrate the lessons. Evolution cannot happen without the challenges. So, as I say, this is how business works. And, you know, if you don't want to be tested, then don't be an entrepreneur. Don't leave your house if you don't want to be tested in life. But it's, you know, you can look back on things now and in the time at the moment, in the moment when you're kind of in that moment, you just want it to end. You're like, I'm never going to put myself in this position again. But then we do. And we learn through what we go through, don't we? So I hope you've just enjoyed that short little episode there from me today. And I'm going to be back talking more biz boo-boos soon. So thank you for listening. And please, if you can leave me a review, if you are on iTunes, Spotify, whatever platform you're listening from, I would really, really appreciate that. And you can follow me on Instagram. I'm at I Am Hannah Charlotte. You can also join my free Facebook group, which is Jumping Through Hoops with Hannah Charlotte. And I pop in there now and again offering free trainings. And thanks, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this episode today. If you've enjoyed listening, I would love for you to leave me a review over on iTunes or any other platform that you may be listening from. Thank you.